is going to do that is we have a fantastic object in the room that if he finds it, he's going to get to keep it. And it's going to be something really great, really cool. Mikey is able to use all of his senses, his eyes, ears, taste. He could use that if he wants, smell, whatever. And I'm going to help direct you with hot and cold, and you can ask me questions, but it's somewhere in the room, in this room. Okay?
There's really something.
There really is. This is no joke. Okay, so go for it.
Is it on a person?
Cold. Very cold. Warmer.
Okay. Would it be on a person?
No.
No.
Warmer. Warmer.
Bigger than a bread box?
No.
No.
Colder. Colder. Mm-hmm. Warmer.
No.
Well, you're not asking me questions, so never mind.
How big is it bigger than a bread box?
No.
It's not.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You're kind of cool.
Kind of cool.
Cool.
Is it something I can play with?
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yes.
Would it be maybe in one of these chair pockets?
No.
No.
Okay. And you have 30 seconds. He's not asking.
Does it float?
Kind of.
Can I eat it?
No. Well, no.
Is it made out of paper?
You have 10 seconds. No.
Wood?
No.
Metal?
No.
Styrofoam?
5 seconds. Very cold, very cold. Okay, that's it. So Mikey failed. He didn't find what he was looking for, unfortunately. And he was using all his senses, and he was actually asking questions, which was very good. Now can I get another volunteer? I see that hand. Come on up. Okay, now can you introduce yourself?
I'm Jonathan.
Okay, that's Jonathan. Jonathan here is going to illustrate something else for us. He is not going to be able to use his senses. He's going to have to rely on me, actually. So you're going to 100% have to listen to me. I would not listen to anybody like Mikey did because that didn't get him anywhere, if you notice. And you're going to need to close your eyes. And I'm going to direct you exactly where you need to go, okay? And that's all you have is what I have to say, okay? Okay, so what you're going to do, are your eyes closed? Seems like you keep opening them.
They're not open.
He's one of those, right? Okay, you're going to take one step forward, okay? And then you're going to turn a quarter to your right. There you go. And you're going to take probably 4 steps forward. Okay, stop. Okay, you're going to take 2 steps forward, but a little veer to the left. Okay, now you're going to continue and take 1 step forward. Okay, stay there. I'm going to ask Mikey and Sandy to get up for a second to move out of the way. Okay, now you're going to take 1 more step forward. Okay, and then a 1/2 step forward. About a half step more forward. Okay. Then you're just going to turn your body to the right slightly. Okay. And then you're going to take a couple steps forward, but watch the chair on your right. There you go. Okay. Now you're going to take one more step forward. Okay. Now the chair to your right in the pocket is going to be what you're looking for. Not that one. Hey, you're not allowed to say anything. Okay. There you go. Reach in. Do you feel anything? Okay. So turn around and show everybody what you got.
A yo-yo.
Can you show them how you can do that? It's not just a yo-yo, though. It lights up. Okay, you may be seated, and Sandy and Mike, you can go back. So what's happening there? We had two examples. One, Jonathan had to completely rely on me, and he had to trust me in order to get to where he's going, and he didn't really know what he was looking for. He had to know just that I said there was something that he was looking for, and he had to follow my directions. And as he did, he found the object, and now he gets to enjoy that object for the rest of his life. On the other hand, we had Mikey. He was listening to a lot of different things, and I was directing him, but I was not telling him the truth in a lot of things, correct? I was actually misdirecting him, misguiding him. He was misguided. He was a misguided man. But he didn't even really know what he was looking for either, so he had to rely on his senses to find something that he didn't even know what he was looking for. Now, that has to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to continue our discussion from last week of the difference between walking by faith and walking by sight. If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, all of us are going to be able to discover the goodness of the Lord, the plan of the Lord, the direction of the Lord, the spiritual things of the Lord, if we simply will listen to His voice and we will follow His command step by step. However, if we listen to the wrong things, if we really don't know what we're looking for, but we rely on other people's guidance or worldly treasures or worldly advice, we will look like Mikey looked, searching for something he didn't know what he was searching for in all the wrong places, hoping he will just stumble across it. Now, here is for us then what is important, that as believers, are we walking by faith or are we walking by sight? That is what faces us at any given moment, moment by moment, day by day. Are we going to walk by faith or are we going to walk by sight? Now, in our story, we have this picture of a man, Elijah, who walks by faith. He was a guy, as we're going to discover, that was faced with all these challenges. And as he's faced with all these challenges, the key was he was faced with the challenges of, is he going to believe and trust in the Lord? Or is he going to trust in himself and what he sees and things that may seem more practical? Now, in the book of, or in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that is the anthem of a believer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If ever you're wondering how to walk as a believer, the way to walk is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, what are you actually trusting in? Well, that sometimes can be confusing. We're trusting, one, in the revealed will of God in His Word, right? We're trusting in that. That's a big one. So that tells us then if we're going to trust in God's Word, if God's Word is His direction, His roadmap, it's His truth that leads us daily by His truth, then the Word has to be something that is a very integral part of our life. And then we have the Holy Spirit inside of us directing us. And as we have the Holy Spirit directing us, then now we begin to live a life that's completely different than a life that's lived by our senses. It's a life now lived by faith, trusting in the reality of the truth and living by the truth, even though it may be hard or difficult or seems strange or confusing to us. Now, where it gets difficult is when we have a mindset or a worldview that elevates the world system as a source of truth, whether that be the sole source of truth or some source of truth. Or we put our experience in and say our experience is what guides us into truth. Now, we need to be very careful because really the only source of truth is the Word of God. And so as we walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God line up with each other. And sometimes we don't know, like in certain decisions we have to make, exactly, there's not exact scripture that may say, should I go to Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or nothing. There's not exact scripture that says that. So that's where we have to pray and be surrendered to the will of God and just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. But see, this is one of the really neat things about being a Christian, is where it really becomes an adventure to be a believer. Because as we're led by God, we have this sense of awe, a sense of God is doing something in my life. He's taking me somewhere. And there's these places of the presence of God and divine appointments. Have you ever had a divine appointment before where it just, if something happens, you just, it's mind-blowing. You just see how everything just kind of worked out perfectly. And you say, that's so God. That's so Him working in this situation. And see, that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's the motor, the Holy Spirit, the motor that drives us in the things of the Spirit, which makes the Christian life actually amazing, supernatural. With that introduction, take a look at 1 Kings chapter 17. And we covered the initial part of this last week. And I'd just kind of like to ramp up and take a look at kind of an overview of what we talked about, and then we'll get into the new part. So now Elijah, he was a Tishbite. He was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and he said to Ahab, he was the king at that time, he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. So that was a proclamation from Elijah what he was all about, right? He was proclaiming that his life was a life that was lived with the conscious reality that he stood before God. So imagine living your life like that. Living your life with the conscious reality that God is here and I'm standing before God. And the presence of God is before me continually. This was the secret to Elijah's life living by faith. So he makes that proclamation, which in this culture at this time was quite a statement of faith. It's maybe similar to us today saying, you know, for me to live, I live for Christ. That's like saying that in our culture, that the things of this world, they are not my guide for truth. They are not my source of truth. They are not the things that I look to tell me where I'm going. I stand before God. What a great proclamation, huh? That my life is lived out before the presence of God. So in verse 2, he says, the word of the Lord came to him. So there it is. The Bible says that God's sheep, they hear his voice, right? This is something that you and I can better develop as we learn maybe to turn off the things that might obscure the voice of the Lord. These are the things that God speaks to us in our heart. These are the times where we have God's Word bearing witness with the Spirit that's inside of us. And this, as we stand before God, this is what leads our life. This is the power or the motor or the engine that propels us forward every second of our life. The word of the Lord came to me. And it says the word was that there was going to be a famine. In verse 1, it talked about this famine, that God was going to dry up the rain and the dew. This was the word, that a word of judgment. But the word came through Elijah the prophet. And we learned last week in James chapter 5 that it was actually Elijah who prayed for the drought. He was the one that actually prayed, Lord, let there be a drought. He was so in step with the will of God and with the Holy Spirit that he was able to pray what God wanted. And his prayers weren't selfish prayers, because that would affect him too, right? So he prayed, Lord, bring a drought. And he didn't pray, well, what about me? And I don't want to pray this because this is going to affect me. He prayed what was right according to the will of God. So the word came to him. He prayed in verse 3. For him specifically, God had a word. And his word was that he was to get away from where he was, to go east and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that he would drink from the brook, and that God had commanded the ravens to feed him there. So he went down to the brook Cherith, and notice in verse 5, he did what? What does that say? You guys see that? He did what? He did according to the word of the Lord. That statement will be a statement that will determine really where we end up in our life. It will determine the amount of joy that we experience, the amount of freedom in the Lord, the amount of love that we experience if we do according to the word of the Lord. And this is the track that God has us to walk on. This is the roadmap that he says to us today, if you will do according to the word of the Lord. And he was asked here to do something very unconventional, to trust God, even though it seemed weird, and then that if he went to this place, so it required him to actually do something, to go into a different place, to move in a place where he had already moved to a place to proclaim the word of God, that now he was going out of what was familiar and comfortable, but yet he was following the word of the Lord. And so we see here that so much of our success and our happiness and our love is dependent on us just doing according to the word of the Lord. And so often we get restless, or we have some standard that's put out there that tells us we should measure up to it, or something from the world that tells us what we should do to be successful, or what we should do to be happy. And if we do that, we end up staying back in a place where there's famine. And God, all the meanwhile, He's directing the course of our lives. And He's doing that by His Word. And as He does that by His Word, like we see here, He brings us to a place where there's the supernatural. He brings us to a place where there's water and there's this unconventional way that we're being taken care of. The ravens are coming to feed Him. He had to be completely dependent on these ravens coming day and night. And so when we find ourselves in a place where we're not sure what to do, just remember to always follow the Word of the Lord. We're always going to be right if we do what the Word of God says. And if we don't know what to do in a given situation, that's okay. Just do what you know what to do. Do what you know what to do. And the Bible reveals plenty about doing what you know to do. But see, here's what happens when the land gets dry or things in our life get barren or when we get fearful or something happens that we get afraid. There's a great tendency not to follow the Lord or the Word of the Lord, but then to do something out of fear or out of some fleshly motivation, desperateness or franticness or just the feeling like we got to have some kind of control, so we do something to control the situation and it makes us feel better, but we end up in the wrong place. We end up in a place where we're not getting fed and where there's no flowing brooks, and we end up in the same place over and over again, sort of spinning our wheels like the children of Israel did when they didn't have faith going into the promised land because they were afraid, so they stayed back and they ended up going around in circles in the wilderness for 40 years. But see, the application here is just tremendous for us that we live by faith in the Word of God. And just God makes it very simple, and He'll move us, He'll guide us, He'll direct us. But see, we never want to take or make an action that's driven by something fleshly. Because where do we think that's going to end up? A fleshly action will never produce a spiritual result. And so there's all these pressures on us to get to react or respond or to do something through because of fear or some fleshly motivation, and it always will end up in a fleshly result. But see, we're always going to be safe if we follow the Word of the Lord. We're always going to be safe if we trust in the Lord and we live by faith in God. And if we don't know what to do, then we just do what we know what to do. And we don't manipulate things or push things or try to make things happen. We just follow the Lord, right? The Lord is my shepherd. So sheep, we just follow our shepherd. That's all we do. And where does He lead us? To green pastures. He leads us by flowing rivers. I want to just point something out to you in regards to this. If you will look to the book of Jeremiah, and if you don't want to turn there, that's okay. I'll read it for you. Jeremiah chapter 17. You guys there? Look at verse 7. You guys there? Listen to this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That's pretty simple, right? It's simple to understand, but if we're honest, right? It's not simple to do. Here's just a wonderful statement. We need to have this before us continually. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. As simple as that. And we are going to have opportunities. We are going to be challenged to really find out what we're trusting in. But see, what happens when there's something in your life that you can't trust in anymore? When that goes away, what happens to us? See, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now, watch what happens. And whose hope is in the Lord. Boy, that is so good. Because a lot of us here tonight, we face uncertainty, don't we? We face uncertainty. But to the person who trusts in the Lord, that shouldn't, there's no uncertainty in our lives. There's no uncertainty because what we're trusting in is not anything but the Lord, and the Lord never fails. What we're putting our hope in is the Lord, and our hope in the Lord will never fail. But watch what happens after that. He said, he gives this illustration, the person like this, the person who trusts in the Lord, who puts his hope in the Lord, they are like a tree planted by waters. Now, this is completely independent of circumstances, isn't it? This is completely separate from what may be going on around us in our lives personally, in the world around us. He says if we would trust in the Lord and put our hope in the Lord, then we would be like a tree planted by waters. And you may say, well, what if those waters go away? What if those waters dry up? Well, he said it'll be like a tree planted by waters, which actually then spreads out its roots by the river. It actually grows and flourishes and becomes stronger and more healthy. And that person will not fear when the heat comes. Are any of you experiencing a little heat right now? Not just outside, but you know what it feels like to have heat in your life? Not to know where your next paycheck is going to come from, not to know how you're going to pay your bills or what's going to happen the next 2 or 3 days, and not know in any given situation what's going to happen, and you just feel that heat, that pressure, something inside you just reacts, and you just feel that stress and that inward pressure where sometimes it even affects your health, your heart and your blood pressure and all these things. Well, we're being told here that if you will trust in the Lord and put your hope in the Lord, then no matter what happens around you, if everything dries up, you yourself will miraculously flourish like a tree that's planted beside water and that's flourishing and that has a root system that's growing, and you will not fear. Now, please notice that. If we trust in the Lord, we will not fear. Those two seem to be two things that really don't go together, right? So what does that tell? That tells you something, that as human beings, we start to experience those feelings of fear. And then right away, we can know the reason I'm feeling like that is because I'm not trusting in the Lord right now. So there's the remedy, the antidote, that I'm not trusting in the Lord right now. So when we don't fear, and when the heat comes, it says our leaf will be green still. And we will not be anxious in the year of drought. And we will not cease from yielding fruit. So he even says here in the year of drought, it's like if everything is completely dry and barren and wiped out, we will be a people that will continually flourish, to continue to grow, to continue to have a root system that develops and leaves that are green, and it won't be because we're dependent on the soil or the water or the right conditions. It's because God will do that. Turn back with me. Now, do you see the difference between living by faith and living by sight? That's the difference there. And throughout the whole Bible, God is trying to bring us to a place of faith. Do you realize it? Do you pick that up in the Bible? That's just God just continually saying to trust in me. And And in order to do that, we have to be put in positions that it's often hard to do that. That we actually have to exercise our faith. Now, Elijah, we find him doing that. And so as he's by this river, and the ravens are feeding him, and the land is in famine all around him, but because he listened to the Lord and he went to where the Lord told him to go, notice that there was a certain place, and I don't think that the ravens would have, if he went to a different place, that the ravens would have gone there. I think it was very specific. God told him to go to a specific place and do a specific thing, and he had to do that by faith. And it was there that he found the nourishment, the bread, the food, the water, everything he needed. And it is in God's perfect will, as we listen to the Lord, that we find our nourishment, our strength, our fulfillment, and our satisfaction. It's a place. It's there in God's will. But look in verse 7. So, you know, you think you're feeling pretty good. He's gone through some hard stuff, some weird stuff. He walked by faith. And at this point, you don't really see like he's being punished for anything, or you don't see anything like, man, he's really, God doesn't like him or anything. But in verse 7, it said it happened after a while that the brook dried up. And it's like, God, gee whiz. You know, I listened to the raven thing, and you know, it's just kind of weird to have these birds coming and feeding me, and it's unconvincing. I'm by myself, I'm hiding, but I'm sustained, I'm strong. Everybody else was having a hard time, and here he is flourishing. He probably got over that hump of, man, this just seems so weird, but I'm going to do it. And then he did it, and then it worked, and then the whole thing dried up. Have you ever felt like that? Lord, I'm following you. I'm obedient. My heart's right with you. And it's like everything's drying up around me. It's like I don't see the fruit. My life just seems like it's falling apart. It's crumbling. It doesn't seem like there's any direction. You know, things have happened in my life. It seems like my life is just ruined and everything's dried up. Well, see, these are the great times, actually. The times where it just feels like everything's dried up and it just, we're like, okay, Lord, you know, what do I do now? These are the best times. And it's unfortunate that our initial reaction to these times is to freak out, to say God doesn't love me, or to say there's something wrong with me, or I did something wrong, or where's the sin in my life? And it's normal to think that. But see, it's not a punishment to be put in places where our faith gets developed. That's not a punishment, because that's a blessing. And so your car breaks down and you don't have money and you're like, why me, God? Why is it always me that this always happens to? But instead, if I look at the Bible correctly, it's like, praise the Lord. He cares enough about me to make my life so inconvenient that I have to trust him, actually. Thank you, Lord. But we're so tweaked, aren't we? We look at things so wrong because we don't see them biblically. And because we don't see them biblically, then we don't respond biblically. And that's why James chapter 1, verse 2 is so hard, where it says, count it all joy when you go through these various trials. Because we fail to realize this is an opportunity. That God loves me so much, he's giving me an opportunity to grow in my knowledge of him and know in a better, deeper way the love of God which passes knowledge. Thank you. So praise God that he inconveniences us. Praise God that he allows things in our life. Because in reality, the spiritual things in our relationship with God is worth us being inconvenienced and losing everything physical and material and everything that we would trust in this world. That's the way God sees it. We have examples all throughout the Bible, don't we? So it dries up. So what do you do now? What do you do when things dry up? What do you do when you're in that position? you look to the Lord and say, okay, what now, Lord? Because when he closes a door, he opens another one up. So, and it happened that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, this is interesting because it was Elijah that was praying for no rain. So you kind of think, well, he was so in touch with the will of God here that he was willing to put himself in these positions because it was the will of God, and he prayed for that. But then you kind of think, well, couldn't he just pray for rain now and just to ease his burden? But the book of James tells us that when we pray amiss. We pray wrong because we pray for our own will instead of God's will. You have not because you ask not first. And then when you do ask, you ask, praying, you ask for your own will to happen. And so that's why it doesn't happen. But see, Elijah doesn't do that. He doesn't say, okay, the brook's dried up. Before I prayed for the rain to stop, I'm just going to pray for it to rain again. But that wasn't God's plan. Why wasn't it God's plan? Why wouldn't God just come right in and give him a Gatorade or something? Why wouldn't God just get a wet towel and pour it over his head and just put a bunch of grapes and meat by him? Why doesn't he do that for us? Why does he just make things a lot easier? Because he doesn't want us to live by sight. He wants us to live by faith. So, here it is. I love this. What happens next? Then the word of the Lord came to him. Guys, if things have dried up in your life, look for the word of the Lord. These are the times. These are the best times. Where God, where he needs to come in and do something. And these are the times to listen for the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. He said, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So now it gets more strange. He was commanded to go further away from his home. This is now the second place he's being told to go. And he's being told to go into a place where the worship of Baal was very heavy. The worship of a false god. That was the instituted religion of Israel now. And where he was going, Zarephath, was the region where Jezebel was from, the one who brought the worship of Baal into the Israeli community. So now he's told to go there, and that seems weird. That seems strange, you know. And sometimes you think, Lord, why are you having me work at this place where all these just heathens are, and I just can't stand to hear what they say and to be a part. And sometimes, you know, you hear, like you read the book of Genesis where it talks about Lot going near Sodom, and you think, well, I just need to isolate. I need to stay as far away from people who sin as possible, and I need to isolate all my family and children. And there may be times where you do that, in cases where you do that. And I'm not saying you subject yourself or your children or anything to things that are evil. But what I'm saying is, as we follow the Lord, we may end up in places where we're kind of surprised about, where we don't expect we're going to be. And let's not try to manipulate and control our environment to such an extent to where we're not listening to the Lord anymore. That can happen too, with good intentions even, right? So it really comes down to a lot of control issues that we can have. We're just trying to control situations and issues and circumstances so much that we fail to listen to the Lord. Now, this is kind of a weird thing. First, he's moving into a land that's really sinful. Second, he's supposed to have a widow provide for him. They were supposed to take care of widows. So now he's supposed to go to this pagan land, and he's supposed to live there, and he's supposed to find a widow that was probably poor and have her provide for him. See, do you see how unconventional it is? Do you see how important it is to be led by the Spirit and not to have all these preconceived ideas put on us, these artificial boundaries that say, well, if you're a Christian, you should do this, and if you're a Christian, you should do that. And this cookie-cutter, nice, neat little package that we can put on people, when in reality, maybe the Lord's doing something different. I'm not saying he's leading you to go drink and do all that so you can meet people who drink and witness to them. I mean, that's just, we don't just out, I'm not saying that. I hope you guys understand that. But I'm saying, let's not let, even in a Christian way, man's boundaries and preconceived ideas and rules and all these things, and to don't let those things direct you, because it might be a lot different in your life as the Holy Spirit leads you. So here's another test for him. So is he going to do this, or is there going to be some pride that say, I'm not going to have a widow provide for me. I'm not going to have a lady provide for me. I'm not gonna stoop to that level. So you can see there's all these different challenges to, is he just going to listen to the Lord? So what does he do? So in verse 10, he arose and he went to Zarephath. So here's the obedience, right? The word of the Lord came, and I don't know, we don't really get any record of his questioning this or not, but I like how he heard and he just arose and went. And that's how we're to live our life. When we know, then we just do. It's as simple as that. So he arose and went, and he came to the gate of the city, and there of course, a widow was there, and she was gathering sticks. So that's an indication, as she's out gathering sticks, that she was very poor. That's what the poor people would do. And so he calls to her. And Matt, this is just crazy. He says, he sees a poor widow there, and he calls out to her, and she was probably sort of scavenging, trying to provide for herself. And he calls out to her, and he says, bring me a little water in a cup so I can drink. And that just, it almost seems rude, doesn't it? I mean, can you imagine going to, like, well, you know, being from the L.A. area, going to Skid Row, and telling somebody living on Skid Row, a homeless person, hey, go get me a steak. I think I'd like a nice potato with that too. And can you whip me up some nice little mixed vegetables to go along with that? I mean, who does that, right? I mean, it's just so weird. But this is amazing how God is working in so many different ways, from the widow's standpoint, as we're going to see, and from the standpoint of Elijah. But this is how cool it is to follow the Lord. And here's what we need to be careful about. Do you know that internal struggle when you know it's the Lord, but then you talk yourself out of it? Like, God would never have me do that. Like the Lord saying, go talk to that person. Go witness to the person. Go tell the person about me. And then you think about it and you're like, kind of in a hurry right now. I'm going to be late to work. I'm going to be late to school. They think I'm weird. They probably wouldn't want to talk to me. And you just go, all these things. That's that fight that's going on. Are you going to be led by the Spirit or led by faith? That's what's happening there. And so often as believers, we have become so accustomed to talking ourselves out of the things of the Spirit and then just moving on with life. I wonder for myself, how many things have I missed? Because I just say, nah, that's not the Lord. No way. Uh-uh. I'm not going to do that. What are people going to think of me if I actually do that? They're going to think I'm a weirdo. Nobody will want to hang around with me anymore. You know how many opportunities we miss out? I don't even want to think about how many opportunities I must have missed out. But see, because Elijah, the man of faith, God says something and he doesn't talk himself out of it, you know, and he's really keyed in on the Spirit. And he just goes and does it. So he asks this poor widow lady, hey, give me a drink. I think that's just crazy. In verse 11, it says, and she was going to get it, and he called to her, and he says, hey, bring me a morsel of bread that's in your hand. That's probably her only morsel. No, it's a morsel of bread. It wasn't like she had a big loaf and she was having trouble carrying it. I mean, can you imagine talking to the homeless person and saying, give me a drink. By the way, that last piece of food that you have in your hand, give me that too. Would you do that? If the Lord led you to do that? Most of her go, no way. But I think that we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because what we're going to see here is this is what we don't see when the Holy Spirit's leading us to do something. We don't see that God wants to bless that other person, maybe. See, not only was God teaching Elijah to walk by faith, and he was going to provide for him by his obedience and faith, but he was going to do that for the widow too. In order for the widow to be blessed, she needed to have faith too. So imagine that widow waking up that day, not knowing how she's going to drink. There's a famine in the land. Not knowing how she's going to eat. And all she can do is just gather sticks. And she had a son, we're going to see, which made her, you know, more responsible, more poor. She had another mouth to feed. Imagine her waking up that day and just like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to take care of my son. And then here comes a guy asking her for food. And he probably looked pretty healthy because he had been eating pretty good, better than everybody else. What is she going to do? So this is great. Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she says, as the Lord your God lives. Do you like that statement? She's recognizing something here, isn't she? She's recognizing. Maybe it's because she sees him and his health. She's recognizing that God's in the situation. And she probably is not a God-fearing person, probably worshiping a foreign pagan idol god. But she notices, and see, here's where the miraculous stuff starts to come in, where she notices something about Elijah, and she makes a statement, your God lives. There's a living God there. And this is completely against the Baal God, which was not a living God. It was a statue. And so she said, as your God lives, as your God lives. And she makes a statement. She said, I don't have bread. I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple sticks so that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat. And what? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? This is so cool how this develops here. And you see how God wants to bless other people through us? But what is it gonna take for this widow? See, God's drawing faith out of her, isn't he? Through Elijah. And aren't you glad Elijah's obedient here to do something weird and unconventional? To do something to say, this is really weird, but I'm going to ask this lady who's a widow, doesn't have any food, doesn't even have bread, just flour in a bin and some oil, and she's going to cook it and then die. And I'm asking her for some food. So here's what Elijah says, and here's the word of the Lord coming to him. He says, don't you love this? This goes with our Jeremiah verse. Don't fear. What a great thing to be able to tell somebody, right? I mean, how many conversations do you get in with people that are freaking out about something? Fearing. It's all about fear, isn't it? Satan just uses fear. It's such a strong, powerful thing. And to be able to come in and just keep in mind the situation here, the desperate situation. Keep in mind that, you know, this is like, almost like when 9/11 happened, and just freeze that for a moment. Now you have to live without any help there. I mean, just the desperateness. And then he could say to her, and without really having right now any resources, but by faith, he's saying, don't fear. Don't have any fear. He said, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it. What? From it first. See, this is always how it works. Give God our first. And this is going to require faith on her part, right? And she, this is a serious situation. She's about to die, apparently, and her son's about to die. And he's drawing out this faith that you really trust in me. If we really trust in God, we will give him of our first, right? I mean, it's the same principle that goes into our finances. It goes into our time, our energy, our everything that we do, that we give God first. And you say, you know, I barely have two coins to rub together. How am I going to give you first? Well, see, God responds to that kind of faith is what he does. So when we give God first, God sees what we're trusting in. Because do you see, in reality, that's what it all comes down to, really, right? In order for her to give something that she really doesn't have and to give the first of that, she's going to have to trust that it's going to be okay, right? What prevents us from giving God our first? In some way, shape, or form, we're not trusting him. So he says, give it first, bring it to me, and then afterward, make the same for yourself and your son. But wait a minute, she didn't have enough for all of them. So he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel. There's the word again, right? You have to have faith in the word. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. You see what he's saying? He said, you act by faith in obedience, even though it's going to take something supernatural. If you do that, your flour is never going to run out. Your oil is never going to run out. Imagine this woman going out to prepare her last meal, probably for her famished, dying self and son. And because of this act of sacrifice and obedience, she is now going to receive from God supernaturally his kindness, his goodness, his supply, his fullness. And you see, it was all the working of God to bring out this faith. Isn't that a cool story? So now he goes away, or she went away, and she did according to the word of Elijah. See, there it is again, according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household, they ate for many days. Now when we look at that, do we say, well, that's just a story in the Bible? But we're told that these are all written for us to learn as examples for us now. Those are not just some fables, some stories, or some cool thing God used to do. But he does these things now. This is what he does now. The real question is, are we going to live by faith or are we going to live by sight? Are we going to live by his word or are we going to live by the world's word? So in verse 16, the bin of flour was not used up. Very cool. Nor did the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Now this is the last act in the play. So it doesn't end there. And the life of faith doesn't end with one act of faith. The life of faith is a continual lifestyle of faith. It says now it happened. It's like, oh, you're almost like, oh boy, here we go again. You ever have that in your life? Now it happened. You get that phone call, here we go. Now it's happening. Well, this is the life of faith. Now it happened, after these things, that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. That's a pretty serious sickness, right? How sick is that person? They're dead sick, pretty much, right? What happens when there's no breath in you? Pretty much dead, right? So she said to Elijah, now watch what happened. This is how we are. Imagine the act of faith previously. What happened? Imagine her enjoying this bread and being full. And then her son dies. Well, that doesn't seem right. If the Lord is with me, how can bad things happen? Now my son's dead? This doesn't seem right. What did I do wrong? Here's what she says to Elijah. She says, "What have I to do with you, O man of God?" Notice her tone changing. What do I? She had faith before, right? But see, this was a different challenge. And have you ever noticed that we can have faith in certain areas, but then there's other things that don't go there? Okay, don't touch this or don't touch that. And we'll have faith in some areas, but not in other areas. So God will allow things to happen in areas where we are not exhibiting faith. And this was it for her whole attitude changed because she lost her son. And this was something that she couldn't let go. And so here's how she responds. She almost cuts herself off from Elijah, where she was so tender and loving and caring before. And she says, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? Before it was, you're living God. Now it's, oh, you man of God. And she says, have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? So she's feeling some guilt now. She's thinking about God in a different way. That instead of his kindness and his mercy, she's having guilt. She's being tested in that area of guilt. And now she says, oh, great, now you're just going to kill me. You're going to bring my sin all out, and that's why you came, just to kill me. When in reality, it was just another opportunity for her to grow in her faith. So he says to her, Elijah, he says, give me your son. So here's a test of faith for Elijah. He says, so he took him out of her arms and he carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and he laid him on his own bed, and he cried out to the Lord, and he said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? So it kind of sounds like his faith was a little shaky here, doesn't it? Those are areas where it's like the rug gets pulled out of you, and you can have faith, have a lot of faith in these crazy situations and see God working, but then something else comes. And you're right back into that, okay, are you going to trust in the Lord or are you not? So he's almost like, Lord, are you just going to kill him now after all this amazing stuff you did? And look, Lord, she's now not on your side anymore. And this is not a good thing. But see, now what he's doing is reasoning the way men reason, right? Don't we do that in our situations? We reason, how could this be good, God? How can you putting me in the situation bring glory to your name? But don't think like that. The Bible says don't lean on your own understanding. We got to stop doing that. Just obey. So in verse 21, he stretched himself out on the child three times. He cried out to the Lord and he said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. And then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house, and he gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now, by this I know that you are a man of God. Change tunes again, huh? Isn't that crazy? Now I know you're a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. I really believe that as we follow the Lord in obedience, no matter how things look, no matter what the situation is like, we're not to really use any mental, emotional energy on the what ifs, on the possibilities. Did you know that? We're not even to allow our minds to go racing off in those directions. But what we're called to do is just to rejoice in the Lord. That's what we're called to. Rejoice in the Lord because He's at hand. And so, what a great lesson, a great message tonight for us to learn that there's a lot of things that we're not even to concern ourselves with. There are certain things that are God's things and certain things that are our things. The things that are our things, that's what we need to be into. And what are those things? To trust Him, to have faith, to rejoice in Him, to thank Him, to praise Him, to allow Him to do His thing. And then He's responsible for all the details, working out the plan. He has to be true to His name. So He can't fail us. We can't lose. But see, we have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to let go of the control and allow His will to take place, letting the Spirit lead. And that's what it means to live by faith. Pretty cool story, huh? Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your word, Lord. And boy, I sure needed Your word tonight, and I trust many others did too. And Lord, I pray tonight, just for anybody that is really struggling tonight, Lord, and I pray that we would just get back to just simply trusting You and to be obedient, Lord. I want to pray for anybody who just has a mental trust, but maybe there's things that they haven't been obedient on. Maybe you've asked them to go to Zarephath or the brook that's flowing with that water, and you've asked them to go and do things, but they've talked themselves out of it or resisted the Holy Spirit and have found themselves in a place that's dried up, but you're not leading them anywhere, and you really have, but they're just not being obedient, Lord. I pray for all of us that You would revive us and restore us and bring about that freedom that comes from not really counting our lives dear to ourselves, but just to allow You to do whatever You want to do with our lives. Just a full surrender, Lord. You are the potter and we are the clay. Let us be good clay, Lord. Just letting You shape us and mold us and do Your thing on us, developing our faith and most of all, developing our relationship with You in a deeper way, Lord. Thank You so much. Thank You for this body and the people that come to listen to Your word. May You just give them an extra special blessing tonight and bless them with Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you guys. Good word tonight. I encourage you to keep dwelling on it, meditate on it, and try it out. Actually try it. God bless you.